Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area, to bring you information you may not find on those other financial shows. We are aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here, and we hope you had a really good 4th of July. We are recording on the 2nd of July. To have it ready for this weekend. So I know the holiday has passed, but we hope you had a good one.
And as always, we appreciate you being here. I mean, your support means a lot to us. I talked to the client just a little while ago that came in from across town. Why am I drawing? Oh, Apache Junction. And it's just, I mean, every week I am so flattered by people reaching out to us, asking us questions, coming in the office. So this means the world to us, and we appreciate it. Yeah, we hope you had a safe and relaxing and fun, happy 4th of July, Independence Day. I mean, if you really dig into it, at this juncture in our country's career, I know it's probably more important than usual. So hopefully you took a minute to think about it, too, and what it means. So if you like what you hear on Saturdays, tune in again on Sundays, too. We're re-airing these episodes Sunday at 1. So, and please help us continue to let people know about us. So thanks for that. So anyway, our whole mission here, we want you prepared, not scared. We want you proactive, not reactive. We know we're not a good fit for everybody. We know that there are other financial shows and all they talk about is traditional financial planning. We do that too, but you have to come and sit down with us. Our thing on the radio, this show is about current events and how they are likely to affect your finances. You know, sometimes it comes, and I hear it. I listen to our show every week. When we record, it's kind of hard to hear what's going on. When I listen to it on the weekends, I get to hear what you hear. And I realize how negative it can come across. You know what? That's the point. My thing about being prepared, not scared, a half of everything that comes out of my mouth every week should make you more scared. So, and I get that, but that's where the prepared comes in. If you pay down debt, if you buy hard assets, if you put a little food and water, if you do things with insurance companies instead of banks, in moderation, of course, and part of normal diversification, you should change from being more scared to less scared and more prepared. That's our end game goal. We're not just doing this for our thrills because everything's on fire. I mean, but it doesn't change the fact that it is. So I have always thought, even if you don't believe what I'm saying, that doesn't make it not true. That makes you more safe and comfortable, perhaps, doesn't make it less true. So everything we bring you every week, we do our best to cite sources. We do our best to make sure if you call us, we can send you articles or videos or whatnot. With that in mind, let me start scaring you a little bit. So the man from across town that I talked to a little while ago, he listened last week, like the little shout out, but he mentioned that I didn't talk about money markets last week. So I want to start with that. So the money markets, there's a lot of changes going on and people are talking about it now. I've been talking about it since 2014. So long story short, I used to manage the money for the Sun City. It's called Rec Centers of Sun City. I was the financial manager for that account. It was a large account. It came to me at, I think it was $28 million. So it was my biggest account, of course. And when it's other people's money, I know you have to take it very seriously. And I think you have to be safe to a fault. You know, there's other managers that have come and gone for the RCSC. Some have wanted more stocks and bonds. I wanted more stable value, money market. I wanted things that weren't exciting, but they couldn't lose a bunch of money if a plane hit a building or if we had another 2008. So while I was managing it in 2014, a set of rules came out that frightened me to the core. The slang term for what changed was gates and fees. And what happened during the 2008 little correction we had, the money markets did something called break the buck. And what that means, a money market is just like an overnight float. It's a short, ultra short term treasury note. If everything is safe and calm, you should have $1 per share or up. So in 2008, actually the end of 08, beginning of 09, it broke the buck. And that means a lot of them went under a dollar a share. The government sprung into action, as they always do, to rectify the situation. And boy, did they wreck them. They wrecked it. So basically, the government steps in and they say, what we're going to do to protect these poor banks and these poor Vanguard and Fidelity and these big companies, what we're going to do is we're going to let them put up gates and fees. If there's a run on the money markets, if there's an exodus of money market funds, we are going to allow these companies to start with fees. And they were nominal. I mean, I remember reading like 1%, 3%. If I think the world's going to, you know, we're in a handbasket, charge me 1%, charge me 3%. I want my money. I want it out of that system. If the fees didn't stem the tide of outflows, they were allowed to do something called gates. And that is basically close the gate and tell you can't have your money. Well, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've been shouting for 20 years in my office about bail-ins, which is where they seize your money. And this is a bail-in for money markets. So the people that want less money in the bank, what are your options? More risk with stocks and bonds or safety with money markets. And now I'm telling you the money markets are not as safe as you think. So act accordingly. Am I saying go out today and pull all your money out of the money market? Of course not. I still believe in diversification, moderation. I believe in laddering out people's money. But I want to tell you something. So all of a sudden, oddly enough, in 2024, I am reading quite a bit about money markets. And what's bothering me, part of why I didn't bring it up last week, because I need more time to dig into this. Part of what's bothering me, there's some conflicting information I'm seeing. So basically what's going on is they're going to start being a little more vocal about gates and fees again. The difference this time where I read about 2%, you know, this time the honest answer is they can charge whatever they want to stop you from taking money. A little shout out to my friend Joe Jaquint on 1010, another Salem station. He's been hitting this the last 3 weeks, and he's been talking about the fact they can charge 50%. They can basically charge you a fee of 100%. They can charge you whatever. It's a built-in gate because they can basically stop you. So Anthony put something on the screen. Let me read this real quick. Rule 2A-7 currently provides that a money market fund may impose a liquidity fee of up to 2% or temporarily suspend redemptions, i.e. impose a gate, if the fund's weekly liquid assets fall below 30% of its total assets and the fund board of directors determines that imposing a fee or gate is in the fund's best interest. Okay, Anthony, so what you just put up, the 2%, I am told that that is not the real number. So I'm not sure rule 2A.
This is the rule from like 2016. This is that when that sense. First one came out that you were talking about.
That makes more sense. And let me tell you the scary thing for this. As soon as I hear the word gate and I think bail-in will cover your savings, your checking, your CDs, and now your money markets. Because when you have a money market, let's say through a brokerage account, through a wirehouse, you're covered by SIPC. The Securities Insurance Protection Corporation, you're not covered by FDIC, which thank goodness, because they have 1.17% coverage on your money. And it's tied to the federal paper that are actually $34.8 trillion in debt. So there's that little snag behind the scenes. That part of the problem with what's going on right now, they realize who's they? Well, fund managers, the government, pretty much everybody except the normal common person that's got some money in a money market is seeing that we are, the likelihood of a 2008 is growing daily. So they're getting ready. I always say the thing, need to know basis. I shouldn't need to know that they are preparing to seize my money in the money market. But here we are again. So part of the thing with what's going on right now, it's I can't get some final determination on what the government is going to impose on the fund managers and the fund companies. That's scaring me. I know what I'm finding is all saying they're definitely working on it. One of the sources that I would look up if you're trying to dig into this with us, look up on YouTube, Lynette Zhang, Z-A-N-G. She's pretty good. She is the one that seems to be the most vocal right now. This from her is where I learned that it's October 2nd that we're going to have the final determinations. I just hope I don't have to wait into that.
Just in time for the BRICS meeting.
Just in time for the BRICS. And only a month before the big United States election. So yeah, look up Lynette Zhang. I guess she's over at Zhang Enterprises. She is a wealth of knowledge. She's got a great track record and experience. And she is noticeably concerned about your money market. And so am I. So my bottom line, be very awake and aware and nimble with your money. I don't care where it is. But now I'm going to overreach and say even with money markets. And by the way, Keith, Kevin, I've got a little list of people. If you're listening, close your safe deposit box. I haven't brought that up in a while. But if they close the doors of the banks, guess what else gets closed up in there? Your safe deposit box. So act accordingly. With that, I think I've beaten that enough. So if you're concerned and you have a bunch of money in money markets, you can dig a little further along with us. But
let's chat about that a bit too, because what are your safe options? Because as far as there really isn't, outside of things that you physically touch, you know, the cash that you keep at home, the hard assets, I mean, the banks are a necessary evil. We say all the time, you know, if there is a market correction, you have to make sure that you've gotten yourself into cash for those buying opportunities in the future. I mean, there's really no way around these money markets. They're a part of our planning for, and I've got money in a money market. I've got for our clients too. There's no way around it because there's no safe liquid options outside of in your own home.
But let me reiterate what you just said. If you have some money in cash, you can physically touch it. If you have money in banks for your month-to-month, money market for your emergency fund, if you keep it to whatever is a comfortable minimum for you, then as far as to answer your question alternatives, you know, I've been saying this for a couple months now. We have a one-year CD alternative-like product. It's a fixed annuity. Ooh, we said the A word. It's a fixed annuity. It's with an insurance company, 130-year-old insurance company, A-rated. Put your money in there. And right now, and today, by the way, as Anthony said, is July 2nd, you're getting 5.1%. So now you've got some cash. If you're a precious metals fan, you can do some precious metals. You can also do the things we talk about all the time, pay down debt. You know, I mean, leverage your money in different ways. If you have a big purchase coming up, maybe look at accelerating it. I mean, there are options. Every single one includes diversification and moderation. I just know if you're too heavy in the money market because you're worried about the stock market, that could be a mistake. If you're too heavy in the bank because you don't like any risk, that could be a mistake. So my answer is do 7 things instead of 1. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
Is that kind of what you meant? Like, well, you tell people
No, I mean, like, if people come to sit with us, putting money into a money market will probably be part of a plan outside of all the other things. But if you're trying to stay liquid, we don't have any great liquid. I mean, there really isn't.
There really isn't. That's
stay safe outside of hard assets. Yeah.
I mean, you tell people all the time, you know, if you're making, you know, whatever, some little piddly amount of interest at Wells Fargo and B of A and Chase and all these, at least go to the online banks like American Express, Discover, Ally, Capital One. Go to these because you're still in a bank, so you're still subject to a bail-in, but at least they're paying you some interest while you're waiting. So at least there's some benefit to it. Our thing, the only thing you can do if you're not prepared to run to the bank and make this, you know, modern day run to the bank more steep, be awake. Listen to us. I mean, we're telling you all the stuff we can find throughout the week every Saturday. It's listen to us. Listen to Joe Jaquin. Find your way around these news sources like we do. Sam put beer. Oh my gosh, liquid gold. You are correct, Sam. So when you're doing hard assets, please don't forget beer. My gosh. So anyway, our whole thing is you are likely, we don't know, we don't have a crystal ball, to see some changes around this fall. If you get to the money market before other people, if you get to the bank before other people, you know, the old rule of first come, first serve may serve you well. So at least be awake. But you're right, Anthony. A lot of this, we don't have a choice. When you take somebody in their 20s, I mean, really, what am I going to do? Put them all in a one-year fixed annuity when they're in their 20s? No, you have to hope and pray that things get to be turned around. because a lot of the advice we give, we're retirement planners in general. You have younger friends. We do term insurance for people with kids and mortgages. We do generational wealth transfer for people with families. We know that getting, you know, a wealthy family and staying that way is more and more difficult every year. So we're very full service. We will help you, but it's got to be based on your personal situation. We can't give blanket advice on the radio. But and again, another plug for us. I know it's salesy, but come and sit with us. We don't charge. There's no minimums. Anthony says at the end of every show. So we would love to help you. My number one piece of advice, stay awake and stay aware because there's a lot on the table. Speaking of which, when I said if you've got a big purchase coming up, maybe look at it now. You know, we have solutions for you on that front. We know how to get you over to the wholesale, you know, car people through Costco or Sam's. We know about AAA auto buying. We have ideas for a car. But, you know, hear me out on this for a second. If you've got 60 grand sitting in a money market that you don't need because you've got another 60 grand at the bank, you know, and you've got a vehicle purchase coming up for 58 grand, would you rather have a hard at? And I know my dad is rolling around in his grave, but that's a depreciating asset. You know, don't buy new. Well, he's not here, so let me continue. So trade that money market money for your depreciating but hard asset. One thought for you. Speaking of buying a car, I should have brought it up last week. I had the articles ready and I was remiss. I apologize. There was a massive cyber attack on car dealerships. There's a company called Black Suit Ransomware Gang. By the way, if I was going to be smart enough to hack into accounts, I think that's a pretty cool name. I'd like to be Black Suit 2 Ransomware Gang. Anyway, their usual target is healthcare companies. That's their expertise. That's their niche market is healthcare. But they went into the auto industry here weeks ago. It started on June 19th, and it was a hack on CDK Global. So this little ransomware hack, it was at least 15,000 dealerships, or roughly half of all car dealerships. Well, if I'm not buying a new car, how does it apply to me? Apparently, if you go to get your car serviced, if you need parts, they were tying up original equipment manufacturers. So it did bleed over in other areas. If you bought a new car recently, you know this. They always do your MVD work, DMV, whatever you call it. They get, you know, you pay the extra and they get your tags in line. Apparently now when you buy the car, you have to go over to the Department of Motor Vehicles because they can't have that ready for you. So I did get a text from our buddy. We bring him up all the time. If you're looking for a good auto mechanic, we've got one for you. We got a guy. So Mike over at Frank's Honest Auto, he texted. He said something rude. I can't repeat it. He called it a you-know-what show. So, but anyway, it's. I asked him how it's affecting him. He said not really directly. He said that some parts are getting tougher to get. So just, and you know, my whole thing, if they can hack into half of the car dealerships in this country, don't you think they can hack into your bank? You know, they hacked into the Federal Reserve, or what was it, the FDIC last week? You know, that was last week. I don't remember. I know it you know, just got swept under the rug like everything else does. But all I want you to do is make sure you understand. They've hacked into over the years, I mean, think about the identity theft. They've hacked into Marriott properties. They've hacked into the VA. You know, they can get anywhere. So, you know, make sure you're awake. Make sure you're watching your credit score. Do all those things. The one more thing about this Black Suit, apparently what they're asking for is tens of millions of dollars in ransom. So it's a hefty amount. The good news is, as I was preparing to record this morning, I wanted to find an update. It looks like most dealerships are back online. The bad news, apparently, they're not saying this, they're paying the ransom. So good news, this ransomware hack seems to be waning. Bad news, guess who's going to pay more for the next Ford Focus? Hocus pocus. There's a ransomware on my Focus. So I don't know. I mean, it's one more thing to be aware of. On other news, why don't we get to something brand new to me? I heard something yesterday and I dug into it a little bit. Anthony, Sam, are you familiar with the term boommates? B-O-M-A-T-E-S? Yeah. I wasn't either until yesterday. This is a fun one. So what's going on here is that people that are baby boomers, where the largest generational wealth transfer is taking place as we speak, they have these big houses. Their kids have flown the nest. Maybe the spouse passed away. But they could use company. A lot of the younger people in the country are having trouble affording a home, especially when it's at about 7 or 8% interest. So it's a home sharing concept. Apparently, according to, well, I don't know, some big important company, last year, 75% of the country's housing was considered unaffordable. I love that. 75%. Think about that. That's, I'm not good with math or numbers, but that's like 3/4 of all the homes in this country are unaffordable. So the average age of the boomate that's taking in a new dweller is 72. The average age of the new home seeker is 53. So if you're bored, if you're lonely, if you want extra income, you know, it's, you know, I mean, you're not bringing somebody in to be a healthcare provider. You're doing this to be a win-win and help people. A lot of baby boomers don't have a mortgage. So for them, it's like it's company, it's a little extra income. For younger people, this might be a game changer. The if you have only 25% of the homes are considered affordable, what does that trigger in my little conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat wearing brain right away? Guess who's going to sweep in and buy the other 75% of the homes? BlackRock, Blackstone, Vanguard.
Well, why would they buy the unaffordable homes when they could have more money to buy the affordable homes and then make even less affordable?
They're going to buy all the homes. They're going to buy all the homes.
It started big in 2020.
Man, I'm trying to be uplifting today. Anthony's trying to bring you down. My whole thing is Klaus Schwab was right. Eventually, you're not going to own anything and you're going to be happy. Maybe you're going to even eat bugs. I don't know. Anyway, so I thought boomates, we don't need to dig into it, but it's cool. You know, Anthony, I would think you'd like it because it's definitely a win-win. It's a great solution to two different people's problems. So I like it too.
Well, it's a very much a Band-Aid. It doesn't fix anything. There's a reason why people are scrounging together. It's because everybody is poor because we've ruined this economy.
Okay, so it's a Band-Aid, but it's a good one. It's a win-win while we wait. Band-Aid, by the way. Sam, would you buy Curad or Band-Aid brand Band-Aids? Would you buy a knockoff? I haven't been at Walmart for a while. I think it was last night. But there's these knockoff brands. What would you do, Sam?
Well, this was on our grocery list just the other day, and I was at Kroger, which is a grocery store chain. Maybe you're familiar with it out there.
Right? Fries, yeah.
Is it like King Soopers or it's called something else as you get out west?
Fries and Smith.
Yeah, where I grew up, it was called Dillon's in Kansas, but here it's called Kroger. Band-Aid brand was twice the cost of just the Kroger generic. And just on principle, I'm not going to spend $2 if I don't have to. So yeah, I went with the generic brand on that one.
Which is smart because I don't care, Sam, if you are a thousandaire or a millionaire or a billionaire, we should always be smart. You know, one of the things that the three of us talk about a little bit, it's in this day and age, there's a lot of bad news. I talked last week about Olive Garden and Hooters and what's changing. I mean, it's not getting better. I read this week Big Lots is most likely going to file bankruptcy. Big Lots. And I was like, Big Lots, isn't that like a more affordable, you know, I mean, when the 99-cent store, when those are all changing, I mean, this is bad news. This means the middle class is struggling way more than I thought. So one thing that I would think, you should always be a smart consumer that at any given time. You shouldn't waste your money. Right? Either of you? Good.
None. Makes sense.
Right. Well, we beat that to death again. Band-Aids, put a Band-Aid on things. And Anthony, I'm surprised because we kind of roll reverse there. Usually when there's any good news and it's a win-win, you'd be like, why, Jared, why are you slamming it? It's helping people. But I see what you're saying. And I had a conversation with Sandy's cousin this morning, and she's a little bit worried about Social Security. My balancing act is we don't know what's going to happen yet. I'm trying not to scare this poor young woman. But unfortunately, we've got a corrupted system. And part of what I said to her was maybe our government will wake up. Maybe one day they'll stop sending money to Ukraine, start sending it right into our Social Security system. So anyway, Sam, we don't have a lot of time left. Should we hit one more thing or two more things, depending on how long it takes to get through? Why don't we, Anthony, you sent me an article that I found kind of interesting about JPMorgan Chase. You want to talk about that for a second?
Go for it.
All right. So anyway, Anthony sent an article that JP Morgan Chase, when they took over some of the stressed assets of First Republic Bank, apparently now they're starting to do some changes. They're making some of those branches luxury branches. They're calling them financial centers, but the demographics of the depositors and the people that they had there, very high end. So this article that Anthony set from Fortune, it looks like it's July 1st. JP Morgan is converting old First Republic branches into luxury incubators to study the rich. I love that, incubators.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means. Like, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish with this.
I don't know. I mean, when I read the article and I got to the end of it, I didn't know much more than when I started. But one of the things that I picked up on is when they talked about personal bankers, like private banking, it's just more financial advisors. I talk all the time about blue suit, white shirt, red tie, highly polished shoes. They are great at selling you. They're great at showing how important they are and how smart they are. But they don't always service you quite the way they should, in my experience. We get a lot of new clients when they're a little disenchanted after they didn't get the service they thought they would get. Part of the whole thing, these new banks, I mean, to me, it's just more sales. I mean, I look at everything in financial planning like it's heavy on sales. I watched banks, this is going back years and years ago, and they were all going towards a one-stop shop. They were basically booming. This is going back 20-some years ago. They were going to have mortgages, reverse mortgages, business loans, insurance agents, financial planners. They were going to cover anything financial. They were doing wills and trusts. Our buddy from over in Apache Junction, I believe they got their trust from Desert Financial. So, you know what? Let's do this. We're dangerously close to break time. Let's let you know how to find us, and then we'll come back and finish this and get into something new. So if any of this piques your interest, you can hear it again tomorrow at 1 on 9/6 of the Patriot. That's Sunday. We do hope you had a wonderful 4th of July, and we want you, as always, to reach out to us. Ask us questions. Give us show ideas. Let us know what you're thinking, and we will dig into it and cover it. So we are at team@anothermoneyshow.com, or you can be an old school boom mate like me and reach us by phone at 623-523-0444. And we're going to start working on the YouTube channel again. It's been a hair dormant for a little while. We've had more pressing issues, but we're going to jump back into that. So make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Another Money Show.
Remember, all of JR and Anthony's listeners receive a free financial consultation just for listening to the show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com to learn more and schedule an appointment. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show and subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to join us. Really appreciate you. So finishing up on the whole bank being your one-stop shop, it was incredible because, you know, I mean, we got to watch things boom. And then kind of quickly, within a few years, it did a pivot. Apparently, it wasn't quite as lucrative or as successful as the big banks wanted. And all of a sudden, they did the pivot was like a 180-degree opposite pivot. They started closing, and this is in the area by me. They started at some of the Chase was the only one I remember seeing it happen. They started closing some of the lobbies at Chase, and they basically, you were going to have to pay $2 or $3 if you wanted to meet with a teller or a personal banker or a manager. They were talking about, you know, having just like lobby where it's self-service. If you wanted to deposit a check, you know, you could do that. You could, if you had to cash a check, you had to put a thumbprint on it. They had like, you know, you're getting fingerprinted to put on a check. It was very bizarre. And then a few years after that, it kind of normalized. It went back to normal banking. There were financial advisors that did insurance. You know, they still did mortgages and all that, but the big one-stop shop seemed to kind of go away. And then the get rid of bankers went away, and now it's back to kind of normal. And we think good, because we're back to normal right when it's going to start changing again. So good, 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 good. So moving on. Oh, speaking of banks, apparently one of our favorite punching bag banks, Wells Fargo, the Enormo Bank, There's a big class action lawsuit that stemmed from the 2016, the little, you know, when they were closing loans for some people, mostly auto loans. They were opening up a ton of fake bank accounts. How do you open up a fake bank account? Do you have to send me mail? Did you have to email me? How many people are out there succumb to this? And we're like, oh, I didn't know I had an account at Wells Fargo, but I'm glad I do. I'm glad I can jump on that stagecoach. I just don't get it. I don't know how any of this happened, but it did. So that tells you something about either how we pay attention to our banking or how we're just too busy to notice. I don't know. Maybe we told you last week somebody lost like $45,000 and they're fighting it back and Wells Fargo's giving them the big banking finger saying, no, you didn't report it within 30 days. So anyway, this settlement suit, it's called the Wells Fargo Bank Settlement 2024 class action lawsuit, stemmed from 2016. If you had a bank account at Wells Fargo between 2011 and 2022, you may be in it. So apparently 16 plus million accounts are eligible for a settlement. The total pending penalty, I guess I'll call it, for Wells Fargo is going to be $3.7 billion. Some of that to settle that they did wrongdoing, and some of that to you 16 million plus people that had Wells Fargo Bank or didn't, but you did with their blessing. So anyway, so I would research.
What does that end up being, though? By the time they get paid out, by the time the attorneys get paid out, by the time they pay, what is it that the banking regulators who are fining them, like, what does that even mean? Because I'd imagine they're not going to pay much.
17 yeah. cents per account. We've been in class action lawsuits. I don't want to name names. And I'm guessing here. I think we had one for Cox Communications. I mean, you get them for all these different companies. I have never yet read the entire postcard. I've glanced at it. I've never included myself. So I've never gotten one of these big fat checks. I've never excluded myself so I could do my own litigation later. I mean, so I don't know. I just find it interesting because here we go again with Wells Fargo. And if not one single person files their claim, what happens to that money? Does it just go right back into Wells Fargo and the big banks keep getting bigger? Does it go all to the lawyers? I don't know, Anthony. I think your point is well taken. Who gives a hoot? They did wrongdoing. They all do. You know, Chase.
My point is the fines sound big, but it's not, you know, they're obviously not being punished. There's a reason why all these banks do this. You know, obviously Wells Fargo got caught years ago, and then just a couple of years ago, U.S. Bank got caught doing the exact same thing because it's beneficial. None of these fines actually do enough to get these banks to stop committing these fraudulent acts.
Right. It's cheaper to pay the fines and the penalties than not to cheat the customers. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
I heard a rumor. It's only a rumor because I have no idea if it's true. I have no idea how to vet verify it without, you know, a detailed lunch with a gaming department person. But I heard that there's a casino in Arizona that basically they would kind of cheat what the payout was, and they would have a sliding scale on their alcohol prices. I heard there was a bunch of shenanigans all the way around in this casino. And I was like, yeah, but you can't. They have gaming, you know, regulators that come and inspect these. And the person that told us about this said that they are very well aware of that. And that it is cheaper every time they get caught. It's cheaper to pay the penalties and the fines than it is to fly right. And that's a damn shame, because when you walk in a casino, you automatically are at a disadvantage to the house. So now the house is taking a bigger advantage because they're greedy. That's a damn shame. As our friend Sylvie would say, that's a damn shame. So anyway, I guess it's all rigged. What's the answer? I don't know. Should every single one of the 16 million people file? Sure. Take as much money as you can from these banks. Or what if one day we change the politics of this country? We changed the regulation. We said, stop cheating the normies. Stop cheating the middle class. We want heavy fines. We want you to really go after these companies. I don't know. The only problem is currently our system is so so dysfunctional. You got the big Wall Street bank people in bed with the government officials. So it's not likely to change, but maybe one day. Maybe when younger people wake up and they change our politicians, there'll be slow incremental change. It'll be good for everybody. I don't know. Speaking of dysfunctional government, let's move on to something else. Social Security. I mentioned talking to Sandy's cousin. Social Security, I have been saying for 20 years, they're going to fix it with a three-prong approach because they're not going to fix it. So by default, it's going to change in my thinking without a crystal ball. They're going to have to raise the age. Instead of me being 62 or say 66 and 11 months or say 70, they're going to have to change it. Maybe to 75, like across the board. You can apply at 75 and you'll get your full retirement age. There'll be no 8% increases for the next 4 years. You just get your maximum Social Security, but that'll be at 75 across the board. So I think that's one of the three prongs. The second prong, because it's so much a Ponzi scheme, that's not going to cut it. They are going to, unfortunately, to you guys, to lower age workers, they're going to have to make you pay more into the system than you currently are. It's now like, what, 6.25 or something percent that you have to pay in. They're going to change that. They're probably going to have to double it, probably be 13, 15, whatever percent into it. And then the granddaddy, for somebody who's been a financial advisor for almost 30 years in Sun City, Arizona, they're going to have to lower benefits. You know, Anthony, you and I brought this 2 years ago to the Another Money Show. They're looking at changing it 23 to 25% lower across the board for people taking Social Security. Can you imagine that? People that are already on a fixed income. If Social Security is the most important part of your income puzzle in retirement, this is all nothing but bad news. So I don't know. I just, part of the reason I bring it up, I read a couple articles over the past week. If you dig into something called the Social Security 2100 Act, or look up HR 860, apparently the political football that Social Security, oh, and add Medicare and Medicaid is, they're working on it once again. They're trying to get it through a divided political House and Senate executive branch. So this Social Security Act, the only reason it stuck out to me is because I read there's going to be 14 major changes to the Social Security system, none of which are ones that I just mentioned, which I think is the end game. These changes, they're in my estimation, they're going to accelerate the demise of the system. They're not going to help it. It's basically, I mean, you know, they're telling you the system's going to fail in 2035 or whatever. I would say move that up. And if we pass this Social Security 2100 Act, it'll fold earlier than I thought. So I just, and basically their own verbiage in my reading is saying it'll extend the system as it is by 4 years. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that just kicking the can by 4 more years? What have you fixed? And then I start reading that some of these 14 changes are going to sunset in 2027. You do realize this is 2024, right? Smart kids over at the Social Security Administration, it's 2024 and it's halfway through. And you're talking about ramming something through politically, and some of the features are going to stop in 3 years, and then it's going to extend it by 4 years. You know what? The only thing I come away with thinking, the rich, and I say this all the time, the rich get richer, the poor hover, the middle class shrink. As I read about this ridiculousness, all I can picture, higher taxes. That's what I think. Higher taxes are coming because the rich don't pay taxes. The poor don't pay taxes. We in the middle class pay taxes. So, sorry. All right. I guess that's none of that was actually earth-shattering information. So I'll move on. I'll get to something that I touched briefly on last week. You know, we talk a lot about borders. We talk about, you know, I mean, our 10 pillars. One of the 10 pillars has to do with open borders, geopolitics, what's going on. And I brought up that there have been some arrests made in this country. When you have completely open borders, part of the problem is you have no idea who's here. They're only catching some of the people. A lot of the people are being flown in to other cities. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I didn't give you enough information last week, and I wanted to swing back for a minute. So apparently, they did arrest 8 men. here we go again with the military, the military age males. They were all males with ISIS ties, potentially plotting terrorist attacks in the U.S. So these people, these eight, are from, I'm going to try to say it, Tajikistan. I like the name, Tajikistan. So it's Tajikistan. I have never heard of that country. I had to look it up. It's a border nation to Afghanistan. So the people they arrested were from three different cities, L.A., which I think is still in California, but I'm not positive, New York and Philadelphia. With these eight people, they're basically, they haven't really charged them with anything, but they've been monitoring their communications. That's good. I mean, I guess that's where the NSA...
Well, our U.S. government funds the Taliban. Like, why is this even newsworthy for you?
Well, it's newsworthy because you better have some food and water. You better be ready to hunker down. You better be ready for changes in your country, maybe politically, maybe monetarily. We hit those. But you also may be attacked. So what it does, Anthony, in my estimation, it brings more awareness to it if more people talk about it. Because if they arrested eight people, in my estimation, that means there's 80 or 800 that they didn't arrest that are still out there planning. And you know, I've been a big, and yes, last week we did talk about how we're giving millions of dollars to the Taliban. It is insane. So you know how we did the, we seized money from Russia and now we're giving it to Ukraine to fight Russia. So Russia's fighting themselves. So we're giving money to the Taliban and maybe the Taliban can come here or they're already here and they can terrorist attack us. So yes, you're right. I mean, but the thing is, we better not stay silent. We better be proactive and not reactive on this one, because this to me is scary. If they mess with our drinking water or our power grid or our banking system, I mean, it's not going to be good. We're already on edge. For Pete's sake, big lots is possibly going to close. A terrorist attack would make the whole country close. And I found it interesting in my reading. The government is monitoring their communications. Apparently, they're monitoring their social media. If you're a terrorist or a potential terrorist and you're listening to our show, let me give you some advice. Meet in person. Put down the burner phone. Get off of Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever you're using. Maybe don't do that. No TikTok videos of you wearing a bombing vest.
Why are they monitoring and not just arresting? Why
I
even?
I don't know.
Oh.
Because they don't want to, maybe. Because they're allowing this to happen. The one thing about the communications that I zoomed in on, they're monitoring encrypted sites. So if you've ever heard of Wickr or Signal, I believe that's what they're talking about. So if you are a good American and you're not doing anything nefarious and you think you're safe because you're using your cell phone, you're using a Proton email address, I've been saying for years, you know, even making jokes, be careful. You know, I go to our friend Michael C's house in Sun City regularly, and they have a, what do you call it? What's the thing you talk to it and it wakes up and plays music and
Alexa.
They have an Alexa, and I always make jokes. I walk in their house and I say, Alexa, how do you overthrow the government? My newest one, because I want to double down on scary, Alexa, play every single song Taylor Swift has ever come out with. Anyway, so if you're using an encrypted site, heads up, apparently they can get into those. So that's not maybe your safest option either. And I didn't mean to go too far. I just wanted to add a little bit to it on the country they're from. I had never heard of it. Maybe you hadn't either, but it's not just Afghanistan. So moving on, we're talking about the BRICS a lot. We referred to it earlier. October is when the BRICS has their big meeting. Apparently another country stepping forth. And they're going to ditch the dollar. I read two conflicting articles, but one was from Watcher Guru on June 20th. Apparently, Vietnam is the latest one that's going to get rid of the U.S. dollar. So Vietnam, I mean, do we get supplies from Vietnam? Are they like China where we buy their goods?
Yeah, maybe we should just attack them again. That went to the time.
Well, the draft's coming back. I notice how you say that as you're 33 and you're out of the window for the draft, but your younger brother's going to have to go to Vietnam. That's great. So, yeah, make a whole new wave of Vietnam vets, a younger, more. So one more thing to worry about. Vietnam is dropping the dollar. Let's change to something else real quick. So I want to finish up something on the bank stress tests. We brought it up, but we glossed over it. The fact that the information is getting to us on the stress tests, a bank stress test. Why are they testing the stress of the bank? Well, because 2008 showed that we can have a financial problem in this country, that it's not as bad as the Great Depression, but we're calling it the Great Recession. I'm thinking we could have another one of those. So here's a couple of thoughts on the stress test. First of all, I can tell you, every single bank, credit union, money market, wherever you have cash like money, it's stressed. We run our financial system is on what's called a why am I drawing so many blanks today? I think it's because I'm in Snowflake. I'm actually up in Snowflake today recording this. I'm relaxed. I do breathe better up here. I sleep better, but I'm not as focused on the show as usual. So we run on a fractional reserve currency. What happens if you put money into your bank, credit union, money market, whatever? They are supposed to keep some for reserves in case there's a modern day run on the banks. Well, in 2016, in March of 2020, during the big COVID cloud, the government said, oh, we're in unusual circumstances. You don't have to keep any of that deposit or money in reserves. You can do whatever you want. I'm looking at you, mortgage-backed securities, derivatives, you know, reverse mortgage, all this stuff. You can do whatever you want with 100% of the money. Well, COVID's been over for what, 2 years now? Notice I don't bring up the new COVID that's probably on its way. I just say the first COVID has been over for a couple of years. They never put back the restriction. So you geniuses that are doing the bank stress test, why don't you first go back to where there's some reserve requirement from our deposits to the banks? This is insane to me, you know, and I always look at things like why do I know that 8 people were arrested for suspicion, not even terrorist attacks? Why do I know about the stress tests? If all of this stuff is so bad, why don't, instead of just, you know, leaking this, why don't you fix it? I don't know. I'm just, once again, I am dumbfounded at what's going on, but I thought you'd like to know. The stress test I brought up last week, that some financial advisors are telling their clients that have CDs and money markets, they're telling them this is good news. The government's saying the stress tests, it's positive results. They're going to be okay if we have another 2008. I don't know. Where were you on the first one? I guess that's my first question. You know, you had some of these politicians right before October of 07 coming out saying Fannie, Freddie, everybody's solvent. Everything's okay. You know, feel free to keep spending all your money, middle class, because we're all okay. They're doing it again. So they're basically saying everything's going to be okay. You know when I know it's time to run? As soon as the government tells me it's okay. As soon as the stress tests let me know that there's no stress in their test, I know what's coming. So I thought I would bring it up. Anthony, you have any thoughts on it? Do you think we have a need to know about the stress test? Do you think it should be of concern? Or just more of what we always talk about?
Well, yeah, I think it's really important, but I don't see anything changing. And I'm curious, I'm trying to see what the stress tests has said before 2008, or is it something that they didn't start doing until after 2008?
They didn't start doing it until after 2008.
That would make sense.
If you look up Dodd-Frank regulations, I believe that came out in 2010, which, by the way, if you've never looked up Dodd-Frank regulation, I would. There's where you can learn about bail-ins. What's that?
Who's gonna look up the Dodd-Frank Act and read?
Well, you.
That?
Nobody listening. Just you. I'm hoping you do, so you have a working knowledge. Oh, did you wind up watching the debate? Speaking of not doing your due diligence,
I watched like the first hour. I couldn't. I couldn't. They didn't say anything. They didn't say anything. They didn't answer any of the questions. They made shit up about one another. Like they didn't do anything that was worth listening to. It was embarrassing.
I heard about their golf game. I loved it. I thought it was exciting. No, it was a bigger train wreck than I thought it would be. You know, last week when I wondered if we were going to get the crazy hopped up Prevagen Joe, or if we were going to get the sleepy, you know, soil himself Joe, it was worse than I thought. I almost think it was a setup. So if they did pump him up with stuff, they didn't give him enough. you know, and now it's coming out, the Biden camp is coming out saying that they over-prepared him. They said
that
they didn't put enough makeup on him. He looked too pale and frail. I read that this morning, too pale and frail. They should have put more makeup on him so he looked more like Trump. I actually read that. I'm like, you've spent most of your energy saying orange man bad, and now you're saying little Joe Bidey Bidey should have had a little more orange tint to him? But I just think it's funny. No matter what happens, there's an excuse. I think this is a setup. They cannot let him be president for another 4 years, or Obama, or whoever's the president. They can't let Joe Biden, Dr. Biden, stay the president. So this is their excuse to start getting rid of him. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I watched Trump for the entire debate. He, you know, he kept saying he wanted to finish an answer. He didn't finish the first time. You know, he wouldn't answer the questions. I wasn't happy with him either. I mean, I still, when you have, and obviously, if you've known me for any length of time, you know one of those two is going to be my choice. One of them is not. I do know if you're going to make angry half of the country, those are not two good choices. So even if I align with somebody's thinking more than another, I know if half the country is likely to set fires and burn down CVSs, it's not a good choice. And are these the best two, the brightest, the best two choices on the planet? I don't know. I keep saying as the baby boomers are getting older, as the younger generation is taking up positions of power, you know, I said my dream candidate right now would be Joe Rogan. I'm not kidding about that. He's pissed off the left. He's pissed off the right. He's common sense. What is this? Sam put up notable declared candidates and exploratory committees. Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Chase Oliver, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So, I mean, you know, when I look at Robert Kennedy Jr., I didn't know much about him until COVID. And then I saw that he tried to use common sense during COVID when he talked about right is right, wrong is wrong. I was very impressed by him. He's in good shape. He's got a well-known name. I don't know. Unfortunately, I think he muddies the water for this election. We are still so polarized.
Because we still have to vote for two parties because we'll never change anything because of that attitude.
My attitude, I'm sorry to say this to you, at least for this November, is all I got for you. After November, you got 4 years to get rid of the two-party system. You know, I mean, I don't know, Anthony, what are you personally going to do about it? I know you're not going to vote for Biden or Trump. I know that. I understand your principles are important. I love that you stick to your morals and your principles. I love that. I just, until enough people get tired of what we're seeing, it's not going to change.
Enough people won't, because they still have that same mindset you do. You just sat here and said, I don't like either option, but I'm going to just stick with either option.
Correct. Because it's just the system is so far into that rut that it's, and I hate to say it to you, but yes, as the last one was and the one before, this is the most important election of our life. And who do I think is going to be against Trump in November? I don't know. The names I hear, obviously Gavin Newsom, Big Mike. I'm drawing a blank. I mean, I don't know.
They bring Bernie back.
Bernie Sanders. You know, am fine with that.
That's it for today's show. If you like what you heard, you have questions about any of the topics today, or want to sit down with us to review your personal situation, you can reach us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. You can book appointments with us straight from the website. Check us out on YouTube. Remember, there are no minimums. There's no cost for appointments, and there's nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. We'll see you again next Saturday at noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Hey,
At Rochford & Associates, we know the road to financial freedom is not a straight path, and the journey is different for every family. And in times like these, we want you to feel confident that you're safely on track to meet your retirement goals.
We want to ask you to prepare for economic chaos. We want you to prepare for bank volatility. We want you to insure and protect your assets with a smart plan.
Our team can help you make the most of your hard-earned savings using strategies that are right for you.
I want more people to sit down with us. When we talk about a financial plan, it's different for every person we meet. We tailor make our plans.
Schedule your no-obligation consultation today by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford & Associates, veteran-owned and proud to serve Americans like you. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.